Now begin the second part of this drasha, the explanation of the vidui of Al-Chet. We start with Ma nomar lefonecha yoshev marom, what can we say before you, he who dwells on high? Umane sapir lefonecha shochein shchokim, and what can we tell before you, he who dwells in the shchokim, the name of one of the heavens, halokol anistoros vahaniglos atayodeya. You know all the hidden things and the open things you know. Now, basically what we're saying is the following. God, for instance, you know everything, so there's no chutzpah in us specifying our sins and telling you what they are, because you know them anyway. And also the idea of what can we say, Rabbanu Shalom, you sit up there on high and you see everything. Everything that is open and everything that is hidden is open to you, so we can't hide anything from you. So we can't say anything and try to hide things. And we can't explain to you various excuses on what our intentions or whatever, because you know everything that's hidden. So we have no way of justifying what we did. And you are Shochein Shechokim. You're up there in the heaven called Shechokim. And you know everything that is hidden and is open. It could be that the reason it says Shechokim, the Gemara says in Chagiga that in that heaven of Shechokim, they grind the mon for the tzaddikim. And the Gemara in Yuma says that through the mon, they were able to know all the hidden things. So if God, who created and dwells in the heaven of Shechokim, where they grind the mon that can reveal hidden things, surely he knows all hidden things. And the fact that we say that God, you know all the hidden things and the open things. Now it's obviously if God knows the hidden things, even we know the open things, but the truth is not like that. That you really can't know all the open things unless you know all the hidden things behind it. Because seeing what's open and not knowing all the hidden things behind it, you only see a fragmented picture, which is not really a picture that's not distorted. Atayo dea roze olam. You know all the secrets, all the creations. The salumo sisre kolchai. You also know what things that are not secret, but the people would like to hide, and they can't hide them from you. Atacho face kol chadri boten. You search out the rooms and all the stomachs. Now, stomach over here may be a euphemism for the womb. That's what Rav Hertzshatz says, that it means the essence of the person from the time of conception and even before. This goes into the essence of genetics and heredity. And maybe it also includes what the person is from all the things that affect him, like the food that he eats, and then is integrated into his body and influences him. So you know the fiber of every cell, of every being, and just not only what he does, but what he is. Uvochein kloyos v'lev. You also are able to distinguish what is in the kidneys. The kidneys are the spiritual organ corresponding to the physical kidneys that are there for advice. And lev includes thought and emotion. So God, you know all the different advice that we give ourselves and receive, and all our thoughts and all our emotions. Ein dover nelam. Mimeka, nothing, what's it called, is forgotten. The Mesillas Yesharim says Ne'alam can be something that's forgotten or not considered. Everything God takes into the Cheshbon, nothing is merely overlooked. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vatran. The Rabban Hashem doesn't overlook things. Everything, big and small, every detail of every action, the smallest detail of a sin, the smallest detail of a mitzvah, is taken into consideration, not just the general mitzvah or general aveira. The ein nistar mineged einecha, nothing is hidden from you, even the intentions and the things that are hidden to other people. And some say that this fulfills the condition that we say that when we confess the sin and we say that we commit ourselves not to do it again, that God himself has to testify that we would never do that sin again. And it doesn't mean that if you ever do the sin again, then your tshuva is no tshuva. Chas v'shalom, that should be the case. Then most of us never did any tshuva. What it means is that the moment, and then you wouldn't need God to testify, because we could just wait till the end of our lives, look back and see if you did the sin again. And if God's testifying, so you'll know on the spot. You don't know on the spot, he doesn't tell you. But the idea is that if that moment that you repent of the sin and you committed yourself not to do it, you really meant it, and if you could freeze that moment in time, you never would do it again. Then you've done tshuva and you start again, and even if you end up doing the sin again, it's not because you didn't do tshuva, it's because you fell down from that level and started anew and messed up again. But if the reason that you did the sin again is because you didn't mean that you were going to stop it, then Yutaka didn't do tshuva or didn't do complete tshuva. Uvechein yihi ratzon lufanecho Hashem Elokeinu velokei avoseinu shetislach lonu. And therefore, since we have nothing to hide, we have nothing that we can explain, everything is known, so all we can do is to ask you, God, for forgiveness. And we asked for slicha for our chatoyim, mechila for avonos, and kapara for pesha. This is the Seder of Yerushalmi. And according to this, as we've explained in the past, chet is more shogate. Slicha is more the idea of correcting the blemish that the sin itself causes from the doctor side of the mitzvah and aveira. And therefore we ask for slicha, hatzlach, success, refuah, healing, correction of the pgam, even for chet, even for shogate, because even if it's unintentional, the poison is still there. We ask mechila. Mechila is more for rebelling against God, which is more for the sins done intentionally, avon. And kapara, as we've explained, is not slich or mechila, but it is the, if you give tshuva an analogy to a washing stain out of clothing, so the detergent and the water are the tshuva. But the pre-soak is the kapara. Sometimes the sin is so ingrained that you need a pre-soak or an after-soak to loosen up the stain to make the detergent in the water be able to have effect. So kapara is like korbanos, sacrifices, and Yom Kippur, and Yisurim, suffering, and death. All of those are kapara. They're pre-soaks or after-soaks that loosen up the aveira and make the tshuva possible to have its effect, both in forgiving and pardoning from God for the rebellion, and taking out the blemish because of the poison of the sin itself. However, the note of Yehuda brings the Shaloh HaKodesh, and he says that Slicha goes together with Avon, Mechila for Pesha, and Kapara for Chet. And based on what we said, you can understand that even certain Chatoim, even Shogate, even unintentional sins, but where they're very serious sins like Chil Shabbos, or eating Chalev, or eating on Yom Kippur, or eating Chametz on Pesach, all of these things need a Korban Chatos, even though you did them unintentionally. So Kapara can apply also to Chatoyim. And Slicha, right, the Avon, the sin that's done intentionally, definitely makes a greater blemish and needs that blemish cure. And pshoyim, pesha, means merit. It means rebellion, and the main thing of mechila is that God should pardon you for rebelling against him. Now we preface all the sins that we're going to mention specifically with the words, al chet shechatanu lefanecha, for the sin that we sin before you. In order for a person to really feel regret, to really resolve not to do the sin again, and to really make a proper confession, he has to know three things. One is what the sin is, that it's a sin. If you don't know what the sin is, or you don't realize the gravity of the sin, then you can't really confess anything. You surely can't feel bad about doing something that you don't know is wrong, or you don't know how serious it is. You can't feel as bad as you should feel, and you can't resolve not to do it again. if you don't know what you did, or you don't know how serious it is. And also, you have to know who you are. Because if you think that you're not capable of doing anything better, you're good for nothing, and mainly you do good for nothing things, then you can't really feel bad about what you did, because that's my nature, that's what I am. But if you realize how great you really are, and what potential you have, and what you conceivably could do had you done things properly, and then you realize how out of character and how inappropriate what you did is, then you can really feel that you are regretted and you don't want to do it again. And also, if you appreciate who God is and you know you sinned against Him, then that makes the sin even a greater sin, and your regret, greater regret, and your resolve a greater resolve. So you have to know three things: what the sin is, who you are, and who God is. That's what we say. Al-Chait, I recognize the sin. Shechatanu, that we sinned. I recognize who I am, what my potential is, how important I am in the universal and eternal scheme of things. And Lefanecha, before you, God, I appreciate who you are, what you are, and how serious sinning against you is. And now we start the sins, double Aleph Beis. The first one is Ba'ones Uvaratzon. We sinned against our will, ones, we were forced, and Ratzon, and willingly. Now the question is, why do we have to confess sins that we did against our will, that we were forced to do? The halacha is that somebody forces you to do a sin, give the threats of your life, you do the sin. And you're supposed to save your life. So we didn't do anything wrong if we committed a sin by force. However, there are certain sins that you have to give your life for. Yehorig val yavor. Example is Gilei Arayos Shvichas Damim Avodah Zarah. And there are other situations where a person has to give his life for the sin, even if he's forced at the pain of death. So in case a person did not give up his life, and he transgressed one of those sins, so he confesses it. Others say that even the sins that you're allowed and you have to give up your life for, you don't have to give up your life, you have to transgress the sin to save your life, still, it could be that maybe you weren't really forced and you brought the force upon yourself. For instance, a person's deathly ill is allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. But maybe you made yourself deathly ill by not eating the right foods or by putting yourself in a situation that brought about that that dangerous situation. So you caused it. Or maybe it says that when you do a sin on purpose, an intentional sin, then sins lead to other sin, and that's what brought you to this situation where now you're forced, faced with a sin that you're forced to do. Or maybe it wasn't really 100% something you were forced to do. You thought you were forced. Or maybe you enjoyed the sin even though you were forced. So therefore the Vilna Gaon says that you have to confess even sins that you transgressed by force against your will.
Now, Rav Diskin says that this idea of anusim was added for the Maranos in Spain, who were basically forced to convert and acted on the outside as if they were Christians and secretly kept many mitzvahs, but the averas that they did were not specifically forced upon them individually. And therefore, many of the sins that they did, even though there was a general forced situation, they had to confess. Well, Mr. Meliol says that sometimes we feel forced because of situations, because of our matzav condition, and we feel more forced, and because of that we're lenient and we do sins, and we think that the situations are forcing us, but we're really not forced at all. And the idea of the ratzon, that we sinned willingly, how much will did you put into the sin, makes the sin much greater. The Maral says that when Menashe HaMelech, who appeared to one of the Amoraim in a dream, was asked why he served idolatry if he's such a big Talmud Chacham, he said, you don't know how great Yitzhahara for Avodah Zarah was in our time. If you had been there, you would have picked up your robe and run to serve idolatry. Maral explains that sometimes a person does a sin, and he really deep down doesn't want to do it. He's hoping that something will prevent him from carrying it through. And sometimes a person does it, and just the opposite. He wants so much to do it that he would be very upset if he couldn't carry it through, and he does everything in his power to make sure that nothing deters him from doing the sin. That's what Manasseh told him. At least when we did the sin, we left our robe down, hoping that maybe it'd get caught on something and would prevent us from serving the idolatry. But you would have picked up your robe and made sure that nothing would stop you from doing the sin. So therefore, a person has to confess also that he did sins willingly with a tremendous amount of desire and will. The next sin is Be'imutz Halev. Be'imutz Halev means we hardened our heart not to give tzedakah or not to do other kinds of chesed. Or even if we gave it, says the Vilna Gaon, there's a mitzvah to do it with a willing and generous heart, not to do it begrudgingly with a hard heart. It also includes all different kinds of cruelty. It also means that we hardened our heart and became insensitive not to be aroused and awakened by good feelings that we had that should have brought us to do good things. And we remained insensitive to those good feelings. Or we remained insensitive to feelings that would have given us the incentive to do tshuva, and we hardened our heart and were insensitive. Or we hardened our heart and were insensitive to the instruction and exhortations of our teachers and our parents and other people who gave us mussar and tochacha. Another possibility is that we were too machmer on ourselves and others where it was not necessary. And sometimes, whether it's between man and man or man and God, and sometimes those unnecessary chumras by being hard-hearted and extra strict brought us to negative things. Base. The Bli Das, simple meaning of Bli Das is shogeg. We did something unintentionally. It also can mean that we didn't know what we were doing and we did it anyway, meaning we paskin shilas, where we didn't know what we were paskining and we paskined anyway. And that's what the Maral Diskin says, and I think that it applies to all of us, not only to people who are poskim who have to answer shilas. People give advice also. And sometimes you have no idea how to give advice, what advice to give, and yet you give it anyway. That's called belibas. You didn't have the knowledge necessary to give the advice, and you gave it anyway. Or we didn't use our das, our intellect, for Talmud Torah. And we wasted time from learning Torah, and because of that, when you don't have Torah, then foolish things enter your mind, and people sin because of foolish things that are in their mind. And also, we didn't use our intellect to understand things that we weren't told specifically or permitted or prohibited or mitzvahs to do. There's certain things that common sense dictates that this is the proper thing to do, this is the proper way to behave, and we didn't use that common sense intellect to know those things that you don't have to be told specifically or right or wrong. Bitus vasayim, simple meaning, we made nidorim or shavuos, oaths, but we didn't keep, or improper oaths. Or bitui means to make statements that were hard, harsh statements against God or against other people. Or bitui shvasayim can mean we said things that were improper and not nice. A person's supposed to speak in a clean and nice way, and we didn't speak like that. Or we spoke in front of our Rebbe or somebody greater than us, when you're not supposed to do that. But we said, you gave Torah, and we plagiarized them. We didn't say it in the name of the person.
We didn't say it in the name of the person that we were really quoting. Somebody once said that he doesn't mind if people say things that he said in their name, but he does mind if they say things that they said in his name. Also, it includes speaking improper speech in shul or in a beis medrash, or speaking men and women, even with one's own wife, in a improper and a way that is not permitted. Or praising somebody in front of someone they know who is their enemy or doesn't like them, which brings them to Lashon Hara. Or learning Torah on Tisha B'Av. Or it includes also speaking deceitfully. Gimel. Gilui Arayos. Gilui Arayos includes the entire gamut of sexual immorality, from the most subtle indecent thought to the most serious sins of adultery or so on. It includes yichud, being alone, men and women, in an improper way, being frivolous. It should be clear that boyfriend-girlfriend relationships, not for the sake of tachlis, of going out for marriage purposes, is 100% prohibited, a Torah prohibition, Reb Moshe Feinstein says. It's not dressing properly. It's not acting in a modest way, gazing and looking one sex at the other. And it includes even sins between man and his wife that are of a sexual nature. So that's everything is included in Gilui Arayos. The Goli Uvaseser. Goli, if you do a sin sometimes publicly, it makes the sin worse because it's a Chilul Hashem. And also you cause other people to sin. And sometimes doing the sin secretly makes it worse because you have the idea that God doesn't see. You're more afraid of people than you are of God. Dalet. V'das uv'mirma. Das means that you did it with knowledge. You did the sin with knowledge because you had a Yetzer Hara and you wanted to satisfy your desire. And the Yetzer Hara fooled you into thinking that there's no sin involved. So you did it bidas, you did it knowing what you're doing, yet you fooled yourself into thinking there's nothing wrong. Or, for that matter, anytime you distort das Torah, and because of that you prevent yourself or seemingly make it easy for yourself to do something that's wrong. You distort das Torah by thinking that something that's a prohibition is only a chumrah or one opinion or a minig, or so on. It also includes where you knowledgeably fooled other people because of your slyness, and you used your knowledge to fool other people. Or you fooled people into thinking that you're their friend when you're not their friend, or you fooled them and made them think that what you did, you didn't do on purpose when you really did something against them on purpose. The Dibur Peh. Dibur Peh includes all kinds of unnecessary and prohibited speech, mentioning God's name without kavana, lying, making machlokes, right, and using your speech for things that are prohibited is a terrible, terrible travesty of the fact that what makes human beings special is our speech. It also means speaking in such a way that you aggrandize yourself at the expense of somebody else. That's called mischabed b'kolon chaveiro. Also, we spoke things that were prohibited on Shabbos or Yom Tov, or things that are prohibited to speak in shul. We cursed people and we flattered people who were wicked. All of that is included in Dibur Peh. Hey, honas reya. Honas reya means either onas dvori or onas mamo. Onas Devarim includes hurting somebody, hurting their feelings, making them embarrassed, insulted, telling a ger, do you remember when you were a goy and how you ate treif and whatever, making him feel bad, or cheating somebody with words, walking into a store, pretending you're a customer and you only really want to know if you got a good deal yesterday when you bought the same thing somewhere else. So you're fooling the person to thinking that you're a potential customer when you're not. And onas mamon is cheating. And this aveira is even extra special, severe, when it comes to widows and orphans. Har halev. Har halev means with the thought of the heart. Sometimes the thought of doing a sin is the root of the sin itself, and even more serious than the sin itself. And sometimes you're punished for even contemplating doing a sin. There are sins where the thought itself is the sin, like minus. Minus is anything that contradicts Torah's mind, God's mind, what's right and what's wrong. Choshed b'ksherim, you thought in your heart and suspected people wrongly, didn't give them the benefit of the doubt. Or you question God's conduct in the world. Or you question a Talmud Chacham or your Rebbe in a way that's not permissible. Or you were you had gaiva, you're a haughty person in your heart. Or you thought about Divrei Torah in places where you're not even allowed to think of Divrei Torah. Or you bared a grudge against someone else. Or you had jealousy and you were over losach mode in your heart. Or you had a bad intention to sin and you've already done that sin twice. Then you're punished for the bad intention. The Aris Devash says that even though during the year you're not punished for bad intentions, but on Yom Kippur you are. Vav, the Idas Nus. Any gathering which encourages people to stray from God's Torah is called the Idas Nus. And therefore any gathering for bad purposes is a Idas Nus. And the simple meaning is that you gathered people together in an immoral way, a frivolous way, that led to sins of immorality. The vidui peh. Sometimes you can sin with the confession itself. You confess your sin, and you don't intend to stop doing it. Or you publicize the sin, as we said in the first part of this drasha, in a way that you're not allowed to publicize it. Or you said the vidui, but you didn't really realize how serious the sin was, and therefore you minimized the severity of what you did. Zayin, bezilzul horim umorim. Parents include step-parents, includes your in-laws, father-in-law, mother-in-law. It includes your oldest brother, or according to some, any older sibling. Rabbo, morim includes your Rebbe, or anybody who's fit to Paskin Shilas, or a Talmud Chacham and Yiri Shamayim, even not in their presence. Or somebody who insults his friend in front of a Talmud Chacham is also mezalzel in morim. Or he heard somebody else insult the Talmud Chacham and he didn't protest. Could be sometimes also the parents and the teachers also are guilty of this sin, because the way they act or the way they either don't educate their children or the wrong way of educating their children, they cause their children to disrespect them, and therefore the parents are the ones who are responsible for disrespect of parents and teachers. The Magen Avraham points out that really it should be in the other order. First we ask for the lesser thing, shkaga, which is unintentional, and then zodon, which is intentional. There are various answers to that. The Anaf Yosef says that sometimes when a person does a sin intentionally, that's what the punishment for that is, that God brings another sin to him which is unintentional. So it starts with the intentional and leads to unintentional. Or sometimes, based on a maral, a person, when he sins intentionally, so it makes him insensitive to that sin, and then he's not so careful not to make sure that he doesn't do that sin unintentionally either. And also, when you sin with a sin intentionally, even the next time you do it unintentionally, the unintentional is really not so unintentional, because even if had you known, you would have done it too. So that makes the unintentional sin much more serious. And that is one of the meanings in Laman Sfos HaRova Es Hatzmeya. If you constantly do intentional sins, and even when you do them unintentionally by accident, right, not knowing, you get punished as if you knew. Also, this zodon could be something done unintentionally, but because you didn't learn. And not learning is almost tantamount to doing something intentionally, because you should have learned. So the first zodon is really shkaga, but a more serious shkaga of not learning, and the second one is that you made a mistake. Others say that after you do the intentional sin and you do tshuva, it becomes an unintentional sin, then you have to do tshuva on that too. So that's what this reflects. The chozek yod, ches. Chozek yod with strength of hand. Either that you strengthen the hands of people who sin, and encourage them to sin and help them to sin. Or, conversely, you didn't strengthen the hands of people you were supposed to strengthen, like poor people and miskeinim, people who need, in need, even rich people who need a loan or whatever. Another idea of chozek yad is that you used force and violence and your power to influence and threaten people in an improper way. Or chozek yad means you attributed everything of your success to your own power, kochiv otzem yodi, and your power and prowess. Chilul Hashem in general is anything that causes others to have a lower esteem for God or for the Torah or for Torah-observant people. It also is doing a sin publicly, which could cause other people to sin or not to realize the severity of sin because other people are doing it, or doing a sin even privately where you have no Yetzer Hara, just do it because you don't care at all. That's also a Chilul Hashem. And this is one sin that the only thing that can totally take away the blemish of the sin is death. Tes, tumas fosoyim. Simple meaning is nivul peh, profanity. Or anything that a person said without any kind of shame or modesty. Tipshus peh. Tipshus peh is shooting the breeze. Just idle, a foolish talk that makes a person look like a fool. People think he's foolish because he's wasting his time. And also, sometimes tipshus peh means saying foolish things. This happens all the time when people visit sick people or go to be Menachem Avel and comfort mourners. They say sometimes the most foolish things. A person goes to comfort a person who lost a baby. They say, do you have other children? Oh, then it's not so bad. Or, you used to complain that, you know, that it's hard to bring up the children. Maybe you won't complain anymore now that you lost a child. I've heard people say these things to people. My wife once had a miscarriage in Miami. And in those days, they put the women who had miscarriages in the same ward as the women who had babies. And the chaplain, an elderly, retired conservative rabbi, the chaplain of the hospital came around from bed to bed asking cheerfully, and what did you have, and what did you have? Came to my wife's bed, and he said to her cheerfully, and what did you have? She said, a miscarriage. It was at the time comical, but it was foolish. Had he found out beforehand, he wouldn't have come to my wife's bed and cheerfully say, what did you have? So you have to be very careful that you don't say foolish things that instead of comforting people and helping them may do just the opposite. Yud. B'yetzer hara. This means that we stimulated and incited the yetzer hara in us where we really had no desire to sin, but we created the desire, either by thinking about things or going to places that we shouldn't have to incite the yetzer hara. An innocent example would be somebody who has no yetzer hara to eat chametz on Pesach, that goes and stands in a non-Jewish bakery and smells the freshly baked bread and brings himself to incite the Yetzer Hara to want to eat that chametz. Or Yetzer Hara means we acted like the Yetzer Hara and incited other people to do sins. Or we didn't use the Yetzer Hara for the good. And the truth is that the Yetzer Hara is a malach, and he wants very much that you shouldn't listen to him. He has a job. He has to try to make you do a sin so you'll use your free choice the right way. But you sin against the Yetzer Hara when you listen to him. B'yodim v'lo yodim, knowledge and without knowledge. Sometimes we did things because other people would know and we're ashamed of them, and we don't do mitzvahs because we're ashamed that people will ridicule us or whatever. That's yodim. And lo yodim is what's it called, we didn't know enough now information to know that we were doing sins. Or sometimes you damage somebody else, sometimes they know about it, and sometimes you do it behind their back and they don't know about it. Or sometimes a person can paskin shilas, or like we said before, the advice where he doesn't know what he's doing, and that's below yodim. Or he knows the advice to give, and he knows what the psak is, and he refuses to get involved. And he doesn't give the advice, and he doesn't paskin the shaila. That's the yodim. We sin with knowledge that we had that we should have used that we didn't use. Chaf. Bechachash uvechazot. Chachash is where you deny something that is true. You owe somebody money and you deny it. And chazot is where you promise somebody something and you don't keep your word. Bechapash shochad. Taking or giving bribery. And that's not only for judges, but anybody who has to make a decision, a vote in a communal setting, or make decisions for the community, and does it because of personal bribery that he accepts, is guilty of this. And people in their own lives, when they have to make decisions, sometimes make the decisions in a wrong way because they're bribed by their taivas and yetzer hara and subjective desires. Lamed. Lotson. Lotson means mocking, scoffing, poking fun, ridicule at either people or Torah or any holy and serious thing and making light of it. And somebody who pokes fun can destroy 100 musr, the Pasuk says, can be destroyed with one joke. And all leitzonus is prohibited except leitzonusa d'avodah zarah, except making fun and making light of things that are idolatry or anything similar to idolatry. To make light and poke fun at negative things, that's okay. But to poke fun at things that are serious and holy and positive things is prohibited. Also, somebody who doesn't learn Torah and has nothing else to do. So he's poking fun at the Torah. He's making the Torah something that is totally useless, that is not even kedai to do when you have nothing else to do. That's called leitzonus too. The Lashon Hara, we know that Lashon Hara is speaking derogatorily about somebody, whether to his face or behind his back, even the truth, and even if it caused him no damage. And it also includes listening to Lashon Hara. And it also includes all sins that a person does where he gets no benefit, physical, material, monetary benefit, just like a person doesn't get any physical, material, monetary benefit from speaking Lashon Hara as compared to the snake that kills people, doesn't eat them, and it gets no benefit from the fact that he kills the person. The maso matan, nem. This includes all business transactions where you didn't deal faithfully or honestly, buying and selling, hiring workers, treating your workers, paying them on time, unfair competition, hasagas gvul, loans, borrowing things, and not watching things that you borrowed properly, and they're being damaged, and you're not paying for it, or whatever. The machol of mishta includes the whole gamut of sins one can perform by eating. You ate things that weren't kosher. You weren't medactic to make sure the hechshedrim you used were reliable. You didn't ask shilas when things happened that could have traced up your kitchen or made something not kosher to eat. You didn't check your food for bugs properly. You didn't wash before you ate. You didn't make a bracha before you ate. You ate in times when it's usher to eat or in places that are usher to eat, outside the sukkah, on fast days. You ate before davening in an improper way. You ate before kiddush in an improper way. Or you ate in a way that was no derech eretz. You were a zolel v'sove, you were a glutton. And it says that a person, you can tell what kind of midos a person has by the way that he eats. Or you ate things that weren't healthy and caused yourself sickness or whatever. And what a person eats, if he doesn't eat properly, with the right intentions and with kedusha and with brachas, so the food pulls him down to the animal instead of him raising the animal and vegetable and mineral worlds up to the level of a human being. B'neshech uv'marbis includes all the prohibitions of ribis, of usury, of taking interest, giving interest, of being a partner in making a deal between people that involves interest, or even being the scribe who writes up the document, all of those are included in this prohibition. Netiyas gorom means that you walk with your nose in the air. You praise yourself profusely, or you are machzik tova to yourself, give yourself a lot of credit, and you jump in where there are other people more qualified than you, bigger than you, and you jump in to speak first or to do first or whatever. Or you do things, even mitzvahs, that look like haughtiness, because No, regular people don't do that. And you, all of a sudden, are doing something that's not befitting your level. Right? You're extra machmer in something publicly or even privately, because gaiva, haughtiness, even in the heart, is not good. You do things that most people are not machmer on, only special people, and you make yourself as if you're somebody special. Or a person who loves honor and runs after honor. Or a person shows off, dresses ostentatiously, and behaves in an ostentatious way. All of that is netiyas goren. Now what should be samach is really a sin, because the sin and the samach are interchangeable. And the satan is with a sin, so therefore the letter sin is used instead of the samach. And one could even say that in English it's more proper to use the sin in this confession of sins than the samach. But the samach and the sin are interchangeable. So we have two sins here instead of samachs. The siach sifsofseinu. We did things that needed kavana, and we did them without kavana. Mitzvahs, davening, and so on. That's siach sifsofseinu, the speech of our lips. Or we stam spoke idle things. Or we spoke in a time when you're not allowed to speak. We're matzik in the middle of davening or whatever. Or in the middle of various mitzvahs. The sikur ayin. Sikur ayin means to flirt. It means to gaze at things that you're not supposed to gaze at. Not supposed to gaze at the moon too much or the rainbow or similar things like that. Or it means we looked at people with jealousy or an ayin hara, the bad eye. Or we read things that were private that we didn't have permission to read, other people's mail or other people's secret documents. Or we saw a lost article and we didn't pick it up and deal with it. Or we didn't pick up food items or svarim that were on the ground and in a disrespectful way, and we didn't pick them up and show them respect. Or during Shemoneh Esrei, we were gazing around and looking around instead of concentrating on our davening. Ayin. Be'inayim ramos. Einayim ramos means looking down on other people, condescending, right? Or it can mean also to be haughty in front of God, looking down on God even. And or it's talking about a person who's so haughty that he acts in such a humble way because he says, I'm so great, I don't need this covet. I'm beyond that. So his humility is the essence of haughtiness. Ba'azus netzach. Ma'azus netzach means being brazen, either before God or before a Talmud Chacham or anybody greater than you. To be a brazen person. And it's one of the worst midos. Azus metzach. Az ponim le gehenim. Person who's a brazen person is going to end up in gehenim. And therefore it's not even proper to use this mida to be brazen against wicked people or whatever openly. But brazen in your heart to do mitzvahs, that's okay. Anything that a person does without any kind of shame, totally brazen, is included. Hey, beprikas ol. Prikas ol means throwing off a yoke. Now, it can be between man and God. You throw off the yoke of even one mitzvah. And you're a mummer lo oso dover. You become a mummer, a heretic for that mitzvah, that you throw off the yoke of that mitzvah. Or it can be also between man and man. Right, you shirk your duty, responsibility to your family, to the tzibur, to another person. That's also throwing off a yoke that you're responsible for. Plilus. Plilus means things that have to do with courts, judgments. You didn't act properly. You went to a din Torah and you lied. Or you were the judge of a din Torah and you didn't act properly. Right? Or you didn't go to a Beis Din when you should have gone. Or you went to a secular court, which is prohibited, not allowed to go to a secular court. And that's also plilus. And also you didn't judge people favorably. You didn't give them the benefit of the doubt. That's also called plilus. Or you had complaints against God and how he functions in the world. Tzadik. Tzdias reya. You hunted out your neighbor. Tzdias reya can mean that you knew somebody was planning to harm someone, or you knew that something was going to happen that would cause his harm, and you didn't warn him. Losamar Adam Reyecha, don't stand by idly and let somebody else be damaged or hurt. Or you stalked somebody else to do them damage, even if you didn't do them damage. Just the stalking itself is prohibited. And you also fooled someone into making him think that you're a Yirei Shamayim, so he'd rely on you. So you captured his heart in a deceptive way. Or you stopped somebody from doing mitzvahs in a deceptive way. You captured their heart and prevented them from doing something good. Or you fooled somebody into thinking that you're their friend when you're not their friend. Behind your back, you're not their friend. Tzoras ayin is being stingy. You could have done somebody a favor. It wasn't a great effort. Didn't cause you any loss, and you didn't do it. You're stam stingy. Or you didn't receive people cheerfully. Or you were stingy and didn't spend money on mitzvahs. You were stingy when it came to buying an estrogen lulav or buying tefillin or so on. Or you couldn't be mefargein your friend. Good. You felt bad when somebody else had something good. And that is a lack of your hafta reyacha kamocha. And the Shari Tshuva says that sometimes when you feel bad that other people do mitzvahs or learn Torah, right, you look at them with a bad eye, then you fall into the category of sonei Hashem, people who hate God. Because if you hate when people are serving God, then you hate God. So a person has to have a good eye to be happy when other people do mitzvahs and other people are learning Torah. Kuf, kalis rosh, is levity, light-minded. Now your head is supposed to be heavier than your desire and your body, and it's supposed to rule over your body. But if your head is light and your body is heavier, then your body rules over your head. That's called kalis rosh. You didn't take serious things seriously. You dealt and acted in a way of levity with tefillin on or in shul. And you didn't do mitzvahs with the proper respect and the proper seriousness. Kashyas Orav, you're stubborn. You didn't humble yourself and accept Musar or when you were suffering. You weren't contrite in accepting the Musar, accepting the suffering and doing tshuva. You were stubborn. And the idea of kashyas orav, if you have a stiff neck, you can't turn to any side. You only see what you think and where you want to go, and you can't reconsider, you can't look to either side. You just see what's in front of you, where you think you want to go, where you think is right, and that's it. You're not flexible at all. Resh, ritzas ragrayim lahara. You ran to do bad. The one idea is that you did the Aveiro with tremendous desire. And you ran to do it, even if you ended up not doing it. The desire to do it already is wrong. And this is talking where you're punished, even for the desire, you've done that sin twice already. Or you've become accustomed to going to the wrong places. You conditioned yourself to almost automatically go to the wrong kinds of places. Or you rushed into things, even mitzvahs, even good things, but you rushed and did them in a rushed way, which inevitably led to making mistakes and failing or whatever. A person has to be a zoris, but the Orcha Sadikim says zrisus does not mean pchizus. It doesn't mean doing things in a rushed, chaplap way. It means doing them without delay, but doing them with a lot of thought and in a way that you make sure you do them properly. Or you run away from shul, or you run on Shabbos in a way that's not proper. There was somebody who you had to do things negative to, halachically, but you did it with too much fervor, you rushed into it and didn't see maybe there's another way that you could do it without harming the person or whatever, or maybe you're making a mistake. The Vilna Gaon says it also includes jumping up levels too fast And because of that, you end up falling down from those levels. Instead of growing slowly, you tried to grow too fast. Rechilus is gossip. Loselech rochel bi'anecha. It also includes revealing secrets that people want revealed and making machlokes between people, creating divisiveness and arguments between people. Shin. Shvua shav is, some say that it should not say shvua shav. It should say shema shav, which means listening and accepting lashon hara. And that way, all the organs of the body are represented in this vidui. Because if it's not shema shav, listening to lashon hara, then the ears are not included in any of these sins. And others say it means shvua shav, which means either that you swore for no purpose at all, or you swore something that was false, and the Ibn Ezra said that sin itself, false oaths, is enough to keep the galus going. Or it means that you mentioned God's name for no purpose, or you associated with a lie, or you made a bracha for no purpose, or a bracha that wasn't necessary. Sinas chinam, we spoke about on Tisha B'Av. Sinas chinam basically is any hatred for a person that is not sanctioned by halacha. And it also includes when you're happy that somebody else has tzaris, or you make yourself big at their expense, and it is equal to Gili Arayish, Vichazdomen Avodah Zarah, and that's the reason why the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and that's the reason why it remains destroyed. And it leads to many sins. It leads to Lashon Hara and Machlokas, and it leads people not to attach themselves to frum, good people who are doing mitzvahs because of Sinas Chinam. And Ramatis Yol Solomon said a beautiful marshal, which we said on Tisha B'Av, Sinas Chinam, that it's baseless hatred for no reason. He gave an example that if a 7-8-year-old boy in the middle of class was playing around with his computer game, and the Rebbe warned him a few times, and he continued playing with it, and then the Rebbe said to him, okay, this is it, and he cuts off his arm. So no matter what excuse you could say, explanation of why the Rebbe cut that boy's arm off, anything you would say, but it was unwarranted, because the punishment did not fit the crime. There was no valid reason, right? It was bechinam. He cut off the arm for nothing. It wasn't justified. So too, if we know what we cause when we hate another Jew, right? No reason in the world could be justified for hating another Jew. Tough. Bitsumes yad. Tsumes yad means either that you became partners in sin with a Russia, or even partners in him with other things. Not allowed to be partners and have connection to Rishoyim. Or any kinds of sins that involve partnerships, or things that people entrust with other people, or loans. All of those kinds of situations, all those kinds of partnerships, people can sin within those partnerships. And therefore it applies to all communal, shul things. A person does not carry his weight and fulfill his responsibilities to the tzibur, right, where he's a partner in that tzibur, a partner in that shul. So he's basically stealing from the tzibur. That's sumes yod, and also the opposite, where the tzibur forces somebody to do something that he's not responsible to do, which he's not liable for. That also is stealing from him. So all of that is sumes yod. Timon levav means a person has doubts in the basics of emuna and Torah, right? And he leaves those doubts as final questions. Not that he's looking for answers, but that's it. His doubts are what he remains with. Or he wonders about how God functions in the world and questions God's ways. Or just the opposite. He's not impressed with the things, the miracles that he sees in the world, and the wondrous things that could bring him to recognize God's presence in the world, and he looks at them as just coincidence. Or a person who regrets doing mitzvahs that he did. He regrets the mitzvahs that he did. Or he's malagleg al divrei chachamim. He makes fun, pokes fun, ridicules the words of the chachamim, whether they are chazal or his rabbonim or his rebbeim or talmidei chachamim of his generation. Or a person who sins because he's confused. He makes himself confused because he's too busy or because he has tzaris, and he confuses, he lets himself become confused, and in his confusion he sins. Or timtum alev, a person stops up his heart because he's done sins over and over again, and that makes it easier for him to do more sins, and his heart becomes hardened and stopped up. And any good feeling already doesn't exist in his heart. Or because he ate things that are prohibited, and that also stops up a person's heart and makes him insensitive to holiness and to good things. And may we all be zoche to be mekayim the mitzvah of vidui and tshuva in the most advantageous and effective way. And in that way, we will surely have a gemar chasima tova. Yom Kippur will be able to take away and cleanse us from all our sins, and then, Mirtz Hashem, our greatest tefillahs will be answered, and the Gemar Chasima Tova for the entire Jewish people this year, Tufshin Samach Tes, will be that this will be the year of the final redemption, B'viyas Kol Tzedek, M'heirav Yameinu.